If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
Welcome to Phoning It In, the improvised phone-in show. My name is Dave Coffey. The usual phone lines are open, so get calling. We're going to kick things off this week with our topic of the week. This week we're talking about adventure holidays gone wrong. Oscar, you had a disastrous time in the Australian outback. What happened?
Yeah, Dave, I went down there to do a bit of shallow water canoeing.
What's that?
It's like canoeing in a river, but it's just in very shallow water. So like large puddles on like small slip streams and stuff that.
You must get stuck a lot, do you?
That's the thrill, Dave.
Okay.
Like you kind of try, the motion you're trying to get is like scooting your arse along like a dog with worms.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really where the thrill is.
Nice.
It's less high octane, obviously, than like, you know, white water rafting or whatever, but it's much more like of a core workout. And that's
that would really work your core.
To engage your intercostal muscles.
Amazing.
But, it all went to pot then when I was in a slipstream and I was sent out to the ocean, and the Pacific one as well. So there's loads of, like, sharks and octopuses.
Yeah. It's weird because you don't think of the Australian outback as being close to the coast. It was like a long, a slipstream into like a really long,
really long river
out into the Pacific. Yeah.
It's because of global warming.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's all kicking off out
there. Okay, so paint a picture. You're in your canoe. You're out in the ocean. What's going through your head?
So I'm like, God, like, how am I gonna get through this? And my first instinct was just to start kind of singing through Barbra Streisand's sort of whole back catalogue, just to keep myself occupied. But then the survival instincts sort of kick in, and you go, God, you know, there's no food out here, there's no water, I don't have my AirPods.
Fish.
Well, that came to me then after a couple of weeks out there.
Oh, a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I was surviving mostly on salt water for the first fortnight.
Now, how do you... I was under the impression that it would make you sick.
Yeah, but also...
And kind of dehydrate you.
Yeah, but I'm sort of into that vibe. Like, as a fitness freak, I like to be in that sort of slightly dehydrated state because it makes your muscles sort of more visible.
I've heard that.
Yeah, I've been dehydrated fairly solidly since I was about 12.
Oh, my God.
So my body's used to having low levels of hydration in it.
Yeah,
so.
I've been dehydrated, like, my whole entire life.
Yeah, really swole.
Yeah, it's really... It's been so great for me from a fitness point of view.
Yeah, I look unreal. So, I mean, like, after that first fortnight, I was getting a bit peckish.
Yeah.
So I sort of tried to fashion a form of harpoon out of a shoelace and a set of keys that I had.
Okay.
And I managed to successfully catch some really, really nice sea bass, Dave. It was gorgeous.
This is sounding more and more like an adventure holiday gone right.
Well, where it really started to take a turn is when I washed up on this island with this uncontacted tribe.
Right.
Who kidnapped me. And sort of started worshipping me as some form of very dehydrated, very muscly god.
Yeah.
And then ultimately they tried to sacrifice me by throwing me into a volcano.
Okay, right. And what happened? How did you escape?
So I held on to the side of the volcano, okay? And they were so... so enthralled and so thrilled at the idea of me being pushed in that they kind of just like went off. They were like, oh, brilliant, it's done. So I just sort of had to hold on to the side of the volcano.
Till they were gone. Right.
And I kind of, you know, crawled back on. And by that time, the heat of the volcano had like cooked me a bit like a roast chicken.
Oh.
So my skin was real crispy.
Oh, that's
so I was able to then kind of sneak by them again and they didn't recognize me because I looked so... crispy and delicious. I wasn't recognizable as myself.
Okay.
But I was so like salt cured and crispy then.
You're making me hungry, Oscar.
I know. But that seagulls then came down upon me and tried to sort of, I suppose they were like cannibal seagulls because they thought it was chickens. So they were, you know, seagulls are like chickens of the sea.
Yeah. Well, they'll eat anything.
Totally. But it was very lucky because the seagulls then picked me up and dropped me back to Australia.
Oh, they carried you all the way?
All the way back to Oz,
You'd wonder where they were hoping to bring you. Was there like a...
There's a large seagull,
a leader or
HQ,
something.
Yeah, yeah. A colony just outside of Perth.
Okay.
Yeah, they have a compound out there.
Cool. Well, listen, yeah. Oscar, fascinating story. Stay on the line because I want to talk to a few people and maybe you can weigh in on their story. Todd, you went bog snorkeling in Monaghan.
I sure did, Dave.
What went wrong?
Oh, well, I, like, snorkeling, I'm brand new to it. All yeah. right? So, like, first of all, didn't have any of the apparatus. Had to borrow them from my uncle. And I went snorkeling anyway with my mates. There I am, swimming away. And just as he mentioned there a few minutes ago, all of a sudden a big giant octopus just comes along and starts, like, swiggling me around. At first I thought it was like, this is gas, this is playful, this is gonna be, like, a friend. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh God, I need to breathe oxygen. So, like, you know, that was really tough. So eventually, I got out of his deathly grip, as it were, and I swam to the surface and I just was so disoriented. I didn't know where I was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've never been to Monaghan in my whole life.
What's it like?
Other than the giant octopus that tried to kill me, it's actually quite nice,
Okay.
Nice bars and stuff.
Yeah. When I think bogs and Monaghan, my mind doesn't necessarily go to a giant octopus.
Yeah, I don't know, it was like a weird kind of like giant bog octopus thing.
A bogtopus.
If you want to, I just don't really want to like talk about it too much in a, like a nice way because I nearly died, but kind of like a bogtopus.
Bogtopus,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Just to go back to you, Oscar, like, is this all related? Like you were saying, the rivers in Australia, global warming, bogtopuses in Monaghan. Are we seeing a trend, like seagulls carrying humans away?
Yeah, it's all pointing towards the animal takeover that was predicted by Nostradamus.
That's what I was
1160.
That's kind of what I was working my way to. Yeah, I'm glad you.
Have you ever seen the film The Lion King?
Yes,
it's essentially that. So they're all going to start talking
to
and
each
having
other.
Very kind of. Terse, difficult interpersonal relationships,
right.
Singing songs, and then eventually they'll take over from us because that's our function on Earth, really,
right.
Isn't it?
Then we're all doomed.
We're all totally doomed, and it's starting to happen now. You'll start to see it, and it's mainly ocean related. So obviously, like I was taken by seagulls, this lad here was taken by an octopus,
which has no business inland.
No, absolutely. Yeah. But you'll start to see that now where you'll have like a basking shark, do you know, in a Starbucks in Killiney.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that something you've actually seen?
It is. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
This is.
I would like to, you know, add that octopus was, it was singing when it was strangling me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that,
What was it singing?
Oh, do you know, it was singing everything. Shania Twain, Miley Cyrus, you name it. Singing everything.
Kind of a country pop. Sort of,
kind of, yeah. Maybe it's not from Nashville. I don't know.
Yeah.
Nostradamus did say that once they start kind of into the Trisha Yearwood sort of catalogue, that's when you know.
End times are upon us.
End is nigh.
Oscar, Todd, stay on the line. I want to bring on Natalie. You had an awful experience visiting the ancient Inca ruins of Machu Picchu in Peru.
Yeah.
What happened, Natalie?
I was there, you know, just kind of.
Sorry, could you speak up a little bit?
Sorry,
yeah, thanks.
I'd read some of Eat, Pray, Love. I don't know if you're familiar with that book.
Yeah, I'm aware of it.
And I was having a really hard time for a few years previous. And I just said, okay, I got to do something different here.
Why are you having a hard time, do you mind me asking?
I'm afraid that it's going to make me sound weak because nothing was really going wrong, but I'd started journaling as a way to help myself.
Sure.
And I found that I was just very negative, and then I'd read back in my journal. And apparently there's two types of ways we feel happy. One in the moment and one when we reflect back on our lives and think about our lives as a whole. And I'd gotten to a point where in the moment I was actually quite happy. But I was obsessed with reading these journals that I'd written. And when I thought about my life in the big picture, I was just like, this woman has got nothing.
Miserable.
This woman is just a can of piss.
Now, when you're writing the journals, were the things that you were writing at the time, did they seem positive at the time?
Oh, no, because, you know, I wasn't writing about right now.
Yes,
you know, I was writing about, say, the day that just had been, or even, you know, reflecting back on connecting things to my childhood and things. Just really went down this kind of wormhole of negativity. You want to read some of these. There's They're the most miserable pieces of text you've ever seen. They make you... They might make you just want to tear your eyes out and give up completely.
A real kind of piss.
And you'd be bored at the same time reading them.
Yeah.
They're like terribly upsetting and boring at the same time.
Well, but, I mean, most people's journals, I imagine, are pretty boring if you're not the...
Not like this.
Okay, well, listen, you were having a bad time, obviously. You read Eat, Pray, Love.
And a bit of it.
And a bit of it. What made you go to Machu Picchu?
Well, it seemed like far away. There was a deal on. I still use travel agents. I know lots of people don't, but I prefer the kind of just to trust somebody else to do all the organising for me. So I booked this pilgrimage. I went over and I was doing the hike up the mountain.
Yeah.
And I kind of went into this state. Now, I have very low blood pressure. And the, do you know the oxygen levels?
Yes, quite low.
Quite low. So between the low blood pressure and the low oxygen levels, I went into a state where I felt like I was actually floating up the mountain.
Right.
It was amazing.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great.
I mean, I'd never felt this happy. And I was completely laid out comatose at the towards the bottom, base camp one.
Right. So you thought you were going up?
I thought I was floating up the mountain.
Had you fallen down the mountain?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I was in a latrine area close to what's essentially base camp one. It's not Everest, but, you know, we have some.
I know, yeah.
I'd broken my two femurs, which is very serious.
Yeah.
But I felt great.
Right.
In this state. Apparently, nobody knows how long I was out for.
Mm.
But I came to. And I was like, oh, yeah. That's classic. That's just classic now.
Classic Natalie. Did you write about it in your journal?
I sure did.
Did you see any unusual animals or...
In my dream?
No, when you were, well, I suppose any of the time that you were there.
I mean, you know, your average snakes and monkeys and parrots. And
yeah, nothing oversized or singing.
Well, I mean, again, when I was out of it.
Yeah.
It was like a dream. I mean, it was a dream world, but I'm talking Care Bears.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody really wants to hear about other people's dreams.
Sure.
But if you do, I'm happy to talk about it.
Nah. But there was Care Bears.
Oh, and they were so friendly. And we went on this, like, we went on a walk where we were holding hands, but we weren't really holding hands. And then...
Yeah, it's getting boring already. Oscar... Natalie's dream, is there a connection with these Care Bears, or is this just like the ramblings of a mad woman?
Well, I couldn't really hear most of that.
She was quite quiet.
Very difficult to make out.
I think it's the low blood pressure.
I was kind of a bit sleepy. When I ASMR thing, I was sort of falling asleep to the hushed tones there.
My back is tingling.
Yeah, but no, Care Bears are also, Nostradamus mentioned that once a 90s TV cartoon character starts appearing in people's dreams, that's another sign of impending doom.
Okay.
So, Natalie, you could be the next.
Things can't get worse for Natalie.
Sorry, what was that?
Things can't get worse for Natalie.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, I think things could get worse, Natalie. You know, you got to be prepared for that. Todd, when you saw the Bogtopus, what was your reaction of the people around you? Like, did anyone try and help you, or was it just abject terror? And
oh no, I was absolutely by myself.
Oh, you're all alone.
No, I didn't want to do that with anybody else. I wanted to really just, you know, dive in deep. Just,
yeah. What attracted you to the bog snorkeling?
I don't know. I was just reading a book one day and I heard about that bog in Monaghan. I just wanted to go up, get involved,
get dirty,
get my hands and knees and elbows, my earlobes dirty. You know what I mean? So just dived in.
Was there any ever concern on your part that you could have been hallucinating from the sort of, you know, the bog fumes or whatever?
No, well, I've never, not the bog fumes. I'm just thinking about Natalie, and I've never seen Eat, Pray, Love, so I don't think I was on the same journey.
The same buzz.
No, not that same buzz. I was just, you know, a man who had read a book, but in that moment, I have to admit, Dave, I'm never going back to a bog ever again.
I don't blame you. And Oscar, are you done with the canoeing?
No, I got straight back on the horse.
Fair play.
As soon as I got back, I flew back home to Ireland, and I got back to my shallow water canoeing down the canals. Canals in the summertime are great because they're so the water level is so low.
In the summer,
You're just kind of scooching along for miles, all the way from Longford up to Dublin. It's just
great.
Magic.
You must have to sort of maneuver through the kind of the trolleys and the...
That's all part of the fun.
Yeah.
All part of the fun, man.
Now, just one more question. Like, obviously the sea level is rising. Is the shallow water canoe, is that the right sport to be taking part in, you know, with an eye to the future?
Well, you know, it's an ephemeral sport, Dave. You know, we don't know how long this is going to last for. It could be fucking water world.
That's what I'm getting at.
You know, so I'm just going to live it up and enjoy it while I can.
Yeah.
Competing in the shallow water canoeing championships next year in Hong Kong. Training really hard for that right now.
Right. Best of luck.
Haven't drank any water in the last 12 months. I'm looking great.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And Natalie, what's next for you? Like, you've obviously discovered that I suppose your life is terrible. Is there any coming back from that?
I mean, I doubt it, because the only way out seems...
Sorry, could you speak up, please?
Yeah. The only way out seems to me to have accidents on purpose and try and knock myself out in a way that's going to facilitate long periods of comatose
dream
ecstasy.
Yeah, dream states. I mean, that could be the future for all of us, to be honest.
It's risky. It's kind of a Russian roulette. But better than this hellhole that we call consciousness.
Okay, well, that's something. Guys, thank you so much. Thank you to Oscar and Natalie for phoning it in.
Thank you.
As I'm sure you know, Phoning It In is just one of the many excellent podcasts on the Headstuff Podcast Network. Here's a little teaser for another podcast you should definitely check out.
Hello, my name is Stephanie Preisner, and I'm here to tell you about my show, Basically. It's all in the name, really. The show makes things basic for people. We've done episodes about world religions, we've done episodes about COVID, we've done episodes, a lot of episodes about mental health and different aspects of mental health to make things accessible to people. One of the great things about the podcast is that you can contact me and let me know what topics you would like. So have a listen, see if anything tickles your fancy. And if there's something there that you think is missing, please get in touch with the show. We'll cover the topic and then you can listen to it. We're part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, so you can find us on headstuffpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. See you soon.
If you would like to support the show, check out Headstuff Plus. For a small monthly fee, you'll not only help me to continue making more episodes of this show, you'll also get a heap of bonus content from every single show on the network. That includes new bonus episodes of this show, which will be released every other week. So please head on over to Headstuff Plus and sign up today. My special guest joining me in the studio today was at one time the largest dance hall owner and operator in the country, Les Ismore. Welcome to the show, Les.
Thank you very much for having me now. I'm excited to talk about dancing and talk about a bit of, you know, yourself.
Yeah. Good man, Les. That's great to have you on the show. Les, you're famous for your kind of no-frills approach to running your dance halls. How was that? Like, what did you do?
Well, all you need is a space and a bit of music.
A space. So when you say a space, like, where would you host your dances?
Well, I'm my history is agriculture. You know, very much so. And would have originally had quite a bit of land myself. And my crops failed in 63. There was a huge drought. Devastating. Absolutely devastating. We just gotten a crop rotation system in full swing.
Yeah.
It was a corn year. Corn as far as the eye can see. Every frond froze and died.
So it was a drought and a frost at the same time. That's an unusual combination.
No. Quite regular. It's when, a drought is followed by low temperatures. It's very simple, really.
Yeah.
So we needed quick ways to get money out of the family because we had gotten used to a very, 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 very comfortable lifestyle up there. And I said, you know what people love? Getting together, having a smooch, and what better to sow the seeds of love than moving your bodies together? Yeah. Dancing. Yeah. Dancing is what I'm talking about. So
and you didn't provide any like sort of toilet facilities, but you kind of used that to your favor.
Yeah, I suppose we did use it to our favor in that. You know, it was all about natural, getting back to nature.
Yes.
It was the 60s. Now, the 60s didn't really happen in Ireland.
No,
sure you're well aware. I mean, the 60s were really just an extension of the 50s and a preemptive, more conservative 70s. But it certainly wasn't the, you know, summer of love or anything like that. Ireland. But we were trying to bring a bit of that because I'd been to America.
Oh, wow.
And I'd seen a lot of sexy things, really.
Were you at Woodstock?
No.
Where were you?
Gosh, no. I was in Ohio.
Okay.
Learning about crop rotation.
Yes.
Because they are one of the... I can't really talk about it because I feel like I failed those people as well.
No, Les.
Well...
Yeah, it's not your fault it was a cold drought.
Well, I didn't do all the kind of old wives' tales things that you're supposed to do to keep the, you know,
and
kind of superstitious. And yeah, I didn't do any of that.
Like what kind of things are you supposed to do?
Funny enough, rain dancing is one of them.
Is that why you started the dance halls?
Well, it was mainly a social endeavour and just to get the money up. But I was also trying to get the farm back on the go.
So you had the rain dancing then. You had the fertiliser from people needing to use the bathroom, which they will when they dance
a
lot.
And they went everywhere.
Yeah.
Because I said it. I said,
go for it.
Keep it.
Spread it out. Don't dig a ditch and just put it in one corner.
Please don't make any like holes or use the edges. All over,
everywhere.
Please.
Yeah, just drop her out and go for it.
And this did become sort of a well-known feature of the dance because other farmers started having dances on their land because they saw how popular our dances were, but they saw us raking in the money. I mean, people were spending a lot in order to be able to defecate everywhere. Have you ever defecated on the move, Dave?
While mobile. No.
Like on the move.
No.
It's a fabulous feeling. I mean, it is really, you cannot explain it. It's like trying to explain, you know, what life in Japan is really like.
Life in Japan?
Just
as an example. Yeah. Because that would be difficult to get across in words.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but yes, kind of, you know, like a drug or something. I wouldn't know because I don't know about that. But it is
drugs.
A fabulous feeling, and people were willing to pay a lot in order to just be able to explore different. It feels different if you're twirling. It feels different if you're kind of jumping. It feels different.
Yeah, you'd have a different result as well in terms of how
it looks
messy that could be. We'll move on. I have some callers on the line. Famous show band leader Ricky Dock is on the line.
How's it going, Dave?
Ricky, you had some issues with Les back in the day with how he treated the show bands.
Well, the dance halls were covered in shite, so that was the first problem.
Yeah, we covered that.
Very unsanitary sort of an environment to be trying to walk in.
Yes.
But I mean, the no-frills approach, Dave, that was the problem.
Yeah.
We were we'd no microphones, we'd no band equipment, there was no speakers or nothing, he just wanted Acapulco.
music.
Yeah, acapulco music.
You know, we had to sing royalty-free versions of all the popular pop songs.
Okay.
Because he wouldn't pay the royalty rights.
How do you do that? Is it you're kind of singing them slightly wrong with the words?
You just change the words. So yeah, say Whitney Houston, you go, oh, I'd like to jive with a person.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to feel the warmth of a person.
Okay.
Or Britney Spears, smack me, darling, once again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Do you change the tune as the melody slightly, or?
No.
Okay, that was you doing that, the actual spot on melodies.
Spot on melodies.
Yeah, yeah. What other things, like I heard that he used to have an unusual way, a method of paying you guys at the end of the night.
Yeah, we'd be paid in dance hall tickets for future dance hall gigs.
Right,
which of course was no use
because you're outperforming.
We're outperforming,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
That's all he could offer us there was vouchers to come back to his dance hall for a reduced rate. And yeah, it was very disappointing. You put in a good night's work and that's all you get.
Well, that was a type of currency because you could trade those tickets for plenty of cash in the town.
Yeah, but nowhere else, only in Termonfeckin.
Right, yeah.
Well,
it's a bit,
but you could trade them there and then you could spend your pounds.
Pounds either or, yeah.
Elsewhere, you know, you didn't have to re-spend the traded pounds in Termonfeckin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how money works.
It's not convenient for the band, I suppose.
No, there's a lot of hoops to jump through.
And you also used to pay them with items left in the lost and found.
Oh, Jesus.
Which, many the condition of those...
A jacket covered in shite.
Yeah, yeah.
A pair of boots covered in shite.
Yeah.
A wallet covered in shite. And an empty wallet.
Then it's
apart from the shite.
That's costing you money because you're going to have to get
it dry cleaned. Get it dry cleaned. Yeah, it's not worth it. Yeah.
Look,
you never really get the smell out wider, Dave.
of shite.
Human feces, yeah, you know. Yeah, yeah. My wife's a dry cleaner. She's been at it for 40 years and she's one of the hardest workers in the business and even she couldn't get it out. And I said, Phyllis, if you can't get it out, there's something wrong.
Well,
here.
I certainly wouldn't have recommended using dry cleaning to wash out shade. That's just going to send it round and round in sort of a tumble dryer with chemicals. That is going to really mess up.
You want to get a real hot water.
Yeah, preferably in a basin outside. And I went through the process with anyone I gifted lost and found items to, and it wasn't just the show bands. I mean, you know, my family, you know, the kids' friends. If you had to go to a birthday, there'd always be something in the lost and found. But there was a process that would do quite a decent job of cleaning the item.
Okay, I want to bring on your daughter, Maura, because she's kind of taken over the business and is running things a bit differently now. Maura, what have you brought to the table?
Hi, Dave. Yeah, thanks so much. So it's a little bit different the way we've done it. So we've asked people to know, you know, they can defecate now wherever they want to. That's fine. You know, wherever they want to. Just again, you know, Dad kind of, I love you, Dad, but you know, you can't really shit all over the dance floor. You can't. People are going to slip. People are going to break their necks.
It's a health hazard.
And also, you know, we also can't keep paying the band with shitty wallets and, you know,
well, if
tokens.
They keep accepting it, you know, I would beg to differ there.
No, I think that what we have asked to do is very little changes. Instead of things at the bar that would be seen as diuretics being served, we've started serving 7-Up or Coke.
Yeah.
So we've started serving them. And also we ask if they are to defecate. We don't want to take away from the culture of the dance halls either. So we ask them to do it politely in the corner.
You used to just serve coffee, was it? Cold coffee?
It was coffee and prune juice is all you could get there.
That's
all you could get.
Yeah, less.
And I mean, it's thirsty work singing show band songs when you're trying to make up the lyrics and change them on the fly.
That's tough,
man. And, you know, it's going in one end and coming out the other, physically and metaphorically.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a non-smoking section is what we've now signed. So it's, you know... dance hall, you know, dance there and then go and shit in the corner.
Yes.
Or piss, whatever it is.
Yeah,
you need to do,
but it's still a large area or?
I mean, you kind of have to, you know, cater for everyone. So it's kind of is half and half, you know.
Yeah. And you don't want to lose what made the original dances so memorable, I suppose.
Exactly, yeah. We didn't want to take away from the magic that makes it what
it
is.
But it does feel like it's changing and not, well, you know,
sometimes
I don't
change
want
is
to,
good, Liz.
I don't want to be, you know, stopping, you know, progressive kind of evolution, and I want to give power to my children, but it is losing a lot of what its heart was, and we've seen a huge exodus of our original dancers, and it is fancy. You couldn't call it no frills now. I mean, there's quilted toilet paper. There's glasses. It's not just drink the prune juice straight from the tap, because okay. We would have it on tap pints, you know. It's not the dress code now. You know, there's a dress code.
Okay, so well, what's the dress code?
Just, you know, no sneakers, shoes.
I would like to point out, the dress code is now that people have to wear underwear, because before they weren't wearing underwear, so they could just
it's all,
slip out.
It felt less
like a dance and more like a, let's throw our feces all over the place, you know? So there has
Can
to
it not be
there.
Both?
I don't think, I mean, also she said that, you know, he said that, you know, most people don't come anymore that would have come before. That's because they've gotten sick from the feces.
Oh,
and
you're
going to
get a lot of dysentery, yeah. I'd say.
Oh, I got diphtheria a few
diphtheria,
times.
Yeah.
We all got diphtheria a few times.
You're still going strong, though, Ricky.
I absolutely am.
You're still on the touring scene.
We're still gigging, doing our Joe Dolan tribute band. And,
okay, yeah.
Just keeping the dancehall culture alive.
Give us a bit of Joe, go on.
Sure, I'm Joe Dolan, and I'm not alive anymore.
Classic.
That's me, Chandler.
You.
Love us. Love us. I want to bring on another guest. Stay on the line, Maura. I want to bring on Garda Tom McNamara. You've reopened a cold case related to these dancehalls. What's that about?
Yes, so we had a murder back in 1978.
Okay, at one of these dances?
At one of the dances,
right.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about it?
So it is very confidential, but I don't mind sharing it with you, Dave.
Okay.
Just between ourselves.
Yeah, we'll,
okay.
Yeah.
So there was a fella who was found in a state of death, and he was covered in trash.
Oh, no.
Was
that related to the death?
Yeah, that was the ultimate cause of it, was he drowned in shite.
Oh, God.
And it was deemed to be non-accidental now at all. It seemed there was foul play involved.
Right.
And this was the leader of another dance hall. And,
a rival dance hall?
A rival dance hall. He was a proprietor in the town.
Yeah.
And we think now that it may have been something to do with that.
Do you suspect an individual for this, or a number of people?
We have a suspect now in mind.
Okay.
We do. I won't name him now on the air, but right. I think now we could put two and two together and make five, you know?
Yeah, as in there's somebody who stood to gain from a dancehall proprietor point of view. Les, do you have anything to say about, because obviously you were aware of the murder at the time.
Look, there was an even dirtier underbelly at these events.
How do you mean?
Well, there were dark areas.
Right.
Like dark, I'm not sure if you're familiar with dark rooms in certain
like
types
photography
of clubs.
Or?
No, oh. Not in photography. No. No, like, gosh, I'm very uncomfortable talking about this now. I must say. But like sex rooms.
Okay.
Sex areas.
Yeah.
Where people might go and get involved or just watch with torches and kind of like little shows on the side.
Okay.
Now we just let that, turned
a
blind eye, let it all go on. But look, poor Raj was his name. I don't know if I can say that. But anyway, don't know. He, God bless him, he enjoyed that side of it.
Okay.
He wasn't really into the dancing, but he was really into those dark areas. Those dark areas got pretty dark.
Are you talking about metaphorically speaking or?
Both.
Okay.
Like, I mean, like even with a torch, the substance of the people and the fluids would just suck all light out.
Yeah, it's hard to penetrate through.
Quite,
that level.
But also what was going on was really, 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 really dark. all consensual, but still absolutely
Now, murder is not consensual, Les.
Well, that's true.
I will bring you to task. I will bring justice if it's the last thing I do.
I have...
Are you saying...
Plenty of people have said that he died doing what he loved and died...
So you're saying the death was accidental?
Yeah, or some sort of climactic suicide.
But unintentional, kind of.
I don't know. I cannot assume to know what his preferences were.
Right.
But
this happened.
Les has alleged that it was autoerotic fecal asphyxiation that killed
Yes.
him.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
But was it accidental or was it something he had explicitly asked for?
It's a likely story. It's a likely story, there, Les.
Dark.
Look, I want to bring in more because obviously this is a PR disaster back in the day for you guys and it nearly brought your business to its knees. This is when you came in and started to kind of, I suppose, for want of a better word, clean things up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I know I don't want to say anything bad about anyone else on the line at the moment, but, you know, when a dead body is found, you're the only dance hall that throws feces at the wall. And that dead body has feces all over it and inside it. Yeah. You kind of have to look within, don't you?
You need to take a long, hard look at yourself.
Yeah, but then, as I said before, you don't want to take the culture away, Dave.
Yes.
You don't want to take the culture away. So what is it? That's what we've done. We've split the room.
What's the middle ground?
Yeah.
Do you still have these dark rooms?
We wouldn't so much call it a dark room as more it's an outhouse with curtains on it. You know what I mean? It's just a dark outhouse and it's just off the side of the hall. Yeah.
Have things been cleaned up a little bit there or is
again
this...
No, because you know that's what people, if they're going to the outhouse, that's what they want to get into.
They want to get dark
and
dirty.
Yeah.
But are you
might take that away, you know?
Well, are you worried though, Maura, that you could have another Raj on your hands?
I mean, not really. I mean, now we have security guards.
Okay.
You know?
Right. So they're keeping an eye on things.
They're keeping an eye on things. And as I said, we are cooperating with the law and hope that everything is sorted out.
Just about cooperating.
I was going
to
say...
Well, I have given you tokens to the dance. It's not our fault that you can't come.
Tom, what is the legal stand on these kind of dark rooms? Like, if everything's consensual,
if everything's consensual, that's one thing. I'm not here to kink shame. I'm here to murder shame.
Yes.
You can't go around murdering people willy-nilly.
Yeah.
There have to be consequences for the actions there.
Yeah.
And I won't rest. I won't rest now until... I won't rest until all these scat houses have been shut down.
Oh, right. So
I won't rest.
You want to have it all...
I want to have it all shut down. This Les is born
one,
now.
This was one death in 1978.
That we know of, Dave.
Well, what are you suggesting,
I think
Tom?
There could be some form of scat serial killer going on.
Right, and they're covering it up.
They're covering it up, like covered in shit.
Yeah, they're literally covering.
Covered in shit. Yeah.
So what you're saying is then, you know, a lot of these kind of missing persons cases that we see.
The Vanishing Triangle, covered in shit.
Yeah, so people go to a dance hall and then they're never seen or heard of again. Uh-huh. We assume they're just gone on a sesh.
Oh yeah.
And they'll turn up a few days later. Uh-huh. You think. Buried in shite.
There's just more. That's what I think.
If you go by our local police station, very little crime happens in the area. And that was a huge excitement in 1970. I remember the town went crazy when there was that death because it was so exciting.
A
for
bit
people.
Of respect though, Les, for Raj.
Absolutely. I'm just saying it like it was,
right,
Dave.
It was.
And people went wild.
You got a lot of media coverage, Dave.
Media coverage. The police were like...
cows on shit.
They were like, cows and shit, they were like just party animals for weeks afterwards. They were high on the power of having this kind of case. And very little has happened in the area since then. And you go by and they're all watching really violent movies. They're watching CSI. They're like absorbed in crime on TV. And this is like some sort of fantasy now.
Okay, well, look,
I'm grown up in the police station about... trying to kind of
talk about fantasies now with your kinky fantasies now, murdering people and
another thing.
Covering them in shit.
Well, hang on, Tom. These are strong accusations. You started off sort of, you know, dancing around who might be responsible.
Read my book, Dave. Read my book and you'll know.
Okay, well, people can read your book. I don't want to be responsible for anything libelous against Les. But what I will put the question to you more is... What do you say about all these people who've come to the dances and then mysteriously disappeared?
I mean, how many have disappeared? I know that one...
Well, you tell me.
Yeah, I mean, there's one that died, fair enough. And I won't
well,
always...
Well, one that we know of, yeah.
That we know of, yeah. I mean, listen...
But we're
like
talking about
before.
Dozens of people who... have
hundreds.
Gone...
Hundreds
of people over the years who've gone to these dances and then... The next day, their families are looking for them, their friends are looking for them. And
oh,
they're
come here, we've all had a heavy weekend, Dave.
Yeah,
come
no,
on,
I know,
you know
but
I mean?
But if you turn up at the end of the weekend,
yeah,
that's
well, you know,
one thing.
Listen, people, adults are adults. They can do whatever they want, okay? I don't always agree with what my dad says and does about these things, but I have to admit, like, you know, he has a point. There's a culture there. People like throwing their feces
people
all
want,
over the place.
And an awful lot of people, you know, were still emigrating.
That,
at
exactly,
that time,
exactly.
So people were kind of using it as a last hurrah.
Yes.
Before they emigrate, and they did lots of lots of people don't like saying goodbye.
Yes, Irish
I
goodbye.
Hate it. Yeah. You know, at the end of a night, or if you know, I see a visitor at Christmas. I have a cousin that lives in France, and he comes over from Toulouse and it's Christmas, and then he's going, I know I'm not going to see him till next week, and it's going to be so awkward. And
yes.
we'll say, oh, well, we must do Zoom calls, we must talk to each other, and then we don't.
Yeah,
you know, much better if we can just go to some big party and then question, are they alive? I don't know.
And Dad did, you did just leave when you went to Ohio, didn't you? You just, that was just, you
I
were up and gone. So
people
not
you were
do
dead.
What they couldn't deal with all those. Yeah. I knew I was going to come back.
Now that you went that just after the murder, back. You went off to Ohio. That was it then.
Well,
nobody. Oh,
yeah. I mean, the law's been always out to get Dad all these years. You know, they actually grew up together and they, you know.
You think it's a vendetta?
Oh, absolutely.
From Tom?
Yeah, there was one time that Tom wasn't allowed into the dance hall and then all of a sudden, all these people are going missing. So, that, you know what I mean? I'm trying to run a business
it's
here,
a baseless
Dave.
Accusation. Baseless.
Well, what do you say, though, to this theory, Tom, that the people that have gone missing, they just used the dance hall as one last hurrah and then... cut all ties and emigrated.
Look, I'm not on social media, so I can't follow these people, whether they're, you know, in Australia or whichever. But I have a very strong suspicion now that Les is murdering them all.
Well, that is...
That's all I need to say.
That's
all I need to say.
Very serious accusation.
These are our police. In the, I mean...
Do you feel victimised?
I do. And do I get a kick out of it? You know... I kind of do.
Wait, out of the police victimisation?
Yeah. You know, I've seen so much over the years that very little gets me going.
Okay. Right, so you really need to...
But being accused of being part of facilitating some huge, shitty, serial killing mass attack over decades, really, now that is what I like.
I'm afraid we're out of time.
And I'm here to do.
I'm afraid we're out of time. I want to thank all of my callers today, but I especially want to thank Perla Rourke, Ren Denny, and Connor Brown. Guys, do you have anything you want to plug? Connor, I'll start with you.
So, yeah, I have on the 10th of April, I'm in Wigwam for a drag brunch with my drag sister in Evoke Reaction. Mm-hmm. Probably never heard of them. The 24th of April for a brunch in the Bernard Shaw. And that is it.
Should have prepared notes. I'm also at those drag brunches. I'll be at the Corch Festival in Galway on the 8th of April performing. And follow me on all social media platforms at Evoke Reaction, at Ren Denny, at The Queer Cabaret. Thank you.
Amazing. It's great to hear people actually having gigs again.
Yeah.
Yay. Perlo?
No, not.
Anything you want to, though?
Are always very kind about plugging our three episodes of Someone for Everyone.
Someone for Everyone, yeah.
Dave, so I'm actually not even going to plug that because it seems so old. But
it's too late.
It's done. Now, it's done now, yeah.
Yeah, and Ireland's Ear. Also available with
archives.
Can I plug my drag page now? Because of what I did.
Yes, absolutely.
So Coco Chanel _5 on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
Amazing. Thank you, guys. Thank you to the Headstuff Podcast Network for having us, and to Bobby Ahern for our theme music. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening.
Phoning it in. If you're in a quandary, you've got dirty laundry, then you should be phoning it in.
Wow, that was a lot of poop.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.